First, let's find 2 Timothy chapter 4, if we could do that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just say, I got a message from Brother Dinsmore, who presented his ministry last Sunday, and I just wanted to thank the church for a wonderful time, and thank you, he says, for your prayers and your support of his ministry to Belize. And then also, Brother Bowie also wanted you to know that he appreciated your prayers, and to be back was a real blessing, and just a wonderful individuals as they serve the Lord in various countries. It's a blessing to be supporting them, not only prayerfully, but also a blessing to financially support them so that they can preach the gospel in these various countries. I want us to look at, when we think about Mother's Day, and as we come to a close of another Mother's Day, I want us to think about teaching and being a teacher from a biblical perspective. Teaching, says Edward Thring, is the communication of life from the living to the living. Teaching is the communication of life from the living to the living. The teacher is someone found throughout the Bible, and this is sometimes found in a positive way, and also teachers are seen in the Bible as a negative thought as well. I heard the story of a preacher who was visiting various classrooms, Sunday school classrooms, and he visited the class of the sixth grade boys, and they were talking about the Old Testament, and the teacher was explaining about the Old Testament. And so the preacher, he listened for a while as they were talking about these various stories in the New Testament. And then the preacher spoke up, and he said to those young boys, he said, "Who knows who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" And two boys answered, "Preacher, I don't know who, but we sure didn't do it." You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4 really gives us some insight here of the negative aspect of teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, look what the Bible says. Verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." People, the Bible says the time will come when people will want teachers that will tell them what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. They will be taught that which, you know, aligns with their own fleshly desires. And we know that this is not a biblical teacher. This is a corrupt teacher. The Bible says this is leading people astray. James chapter 3, if we could turn there, James chapter 3 and verse number 1. James chapter 3 and verse number 1. In James chapter 3 and in verse 1, James says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And the idea there of a master is an instructor or a teacher. Jesus was called Rabboni, which is to say master or teacher. And so the Bible teaches us that God will look to the teacher and judge harshly to those that teach. The teacher will receive the greater condemnation. And so when we talk about being a teacher, we're talking about a serious matter here, an important matter. And I'm not talking tonight about a teacher, you know, in a classroom or a teacher behind a pulpit, though all of those things are included in those things. But I'm talking about also, you know, a mom and a dad, a teacher at home. I'm talking about a friend, a teacher. Our influence is greater than that, than, you know, just inside the walls of a church. Because all of us have influence today. We're all teachers. And so I want us to notice some thoughts about the teacher here this evening. And so let's turn, if we could, to the book of Luke and the sixth chapter, Luke chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says. We'll begin our reading in verse number 37. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. And I want us to consider his life, the teacher and his life. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. The Bible says this, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master or his teacher, but everyone that is perfect or everyone that's mature in the teaching of his master or teacher shall be as his master." Now, I hope you understand the significance of what Jesus is teaching us in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that when someone is matured in the teaching of their teacher, they are going to be like their teacher. This is what Jesus is teaching us. And so you cannot separate the life of an individual and the teacher himself or herself. They're one and the same. And so the Bible is teaching us here that the blind cannot lead the blind, or they can lead the blind, but they both are going to head in the same destination. And the Bible says that's the ditch. And of course, the blind are the leaders or the teachers, the one that are teaching. And we can say, well, that can be the parents, or that can be the people who are influencing or teaching other people, those who have responsibility or influence in the lives of other people. But also the blind here in this scripture also speaks of those who are following, the blind leading the blind. And so both of them are going to fall into the ditch. Why? Because they're following the instruction of one who doesn't know where they're going. And so the teacher is so significant in what Jesus is teaching us in this scripture. Now when we look at the life of the teacher, what's important? Well, a couple of thoughts here. First of all, a teacher must have the right example or live a life that is example worthy. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, would you turn there with me, Acts chapter 1, and notice what is said about the Lord Jesus here. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began," look at this, "both to do and teach." Both to do and to teach. Jesus taught, but Jesus also acted in what he taught. And this is important for us as we consider teachers, influence, those who are leading. We must lead by example. We as teachers are not exempt from the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we are to be the right example. We must be able to say to an individual, we must be able to say to our children, follow me as I follow Christ. We have to be able to say to our grandchildren, follow me as I follow Christ. We have to be able to say to our friends and our family, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I love God. Follow me as I serve God. We cannot say one thing and do another thing. We must bring our teaching and our life together. And I think when it comes to a person of influence, and again, we all have influence, it's not like we're choosing between what is good and what is bad, right? Within Christian maturity, we're beyond that. But it's choosing between what is good and what is bad, best in our life. What is best? We are teachers, and we must remember that we are examples. You know, when I think about those in our life that don't want to hear the Bible. And I'm sure that there are many in your life that they refuse to hear what God says. If you say the word Bible or the word of God, they just shut you down. But you are a living Bible. The life that you live is an example to those who you are with. And you can show them Christ in you. You can teach by your example. Titus chapter 2, would you turn there with me? Titus chapter 2, and notice what the scripture says here. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now Titus here is teaching us, or Paul here is teaching us, and Titus, the example that we are to be within the church. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober and grave and temperate and sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Look at this. Teachers of good things. We are teaching the next generation of how to live the Christian life, to be a blessing to the next generation. And this is lived by our example, people of faith, trusting God, living the Word of God, separated holy lives. Our example is so important as we think of the life of the teacher. But not only are we to be examples, not only are we to be the right example, but we are also to be faithful. We're to be faithful. Now, Paul gave Timothy great instructions in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's a strong connection in the Bible between teachers and being faithful. Being faithful. Now, we have the gospel and we are stewards of a lot of things in our life. And I think as Christians, one of the greatest things that we are a steward of is the message, the greatest message in all the world, the gospel message. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be faithful individuals. Now, I understand we're sinners and we're not always faithful. We fall short of that. I'm glad that God is always faithful to us. I heard the story of a woman who was suffering many losses in her life, and she went to a doctor for sympathy and for some help, and after being a patient for many months, she suddenly told that doctor, I've got it. And the surprised doctor immediately asked her, you know, what did she have? And instead of answering directly, she pointed to a sign that was on the doctor's desk, and that sign just said, thou remainest. And this is what the lady said. She said, I see now that no matter how much I lose, God remains, and he is faithful. And I think this is so important for teachers to be faithful. You know, we've seen people come and go from our church, and we've seen people become backslidden and leave for years, months, and then come back knowing that we would still be here on Sunday night preaching the Bible. We'd still be here Sunday morning preaching the gospel. It's so important to be faithful. And the Bible says that as a teacher, we have to be faithful. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You know, the Bible says to mark two types of people. Mark those who are unruly and avoid them, and mark those who are faithful and living for God and follow them. And here Paul was saying, listen, be followers together of me and mark them which walk. This idea of walking here speaks of faithfulness. It speaks of walking with the Lord and walking with God and being faithful in the things of God. He says in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Be faithful to the Lord as a teacher. Be faithful to the Lord. I think also, thirdly, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. Let's look at what the Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we could turn there tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2. As teachers, we are to be prepared. Now remember, we're looking at the life of the teacher here. We are to be prepared. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's speaking here, by the way, of empty talk and discouraging words and foolish talking. We are teachers of the truth. And we are to share the Bible. We are to be teachers of the Word of God. And so we're to encourage people and help people to grow closer to the Lord. And so we have to pray and ask God to help us. But we also have to put in the work, and we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But we also have to understand that studying is not just what being a teacher is all about. Would you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and notice what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And notice what the scripture says in verse, we'll begin our reading in verse 11 here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 11. We have to be prepared, and we have to study the Bible to be a good teacher. And this, of course, not only behind a pulpit, but in our homes. But being a teacher is more than just studying the Bible. It's living the Bible. And so we see what the scripture says, verse 11. The words of the wise are as gourds and as nails fastened by the masters or the teachers of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. But verse 13 says, but let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Being a teacher is more than just giving a lesson, though it's part of it. A teacher is living a life for the Lord. Obeying God. It's hard to teach someone on how to obey the Bible if you're not willing to obey the Bible yourself. It's hard to teach someone in obedience to the Bible if you're not willing to follow God's word. But it's knowing God and having a relationship with God and walking with God and, you know, having a prayer life and loving people and loving souls and caring about people. All of this is included in being a teacher, fearing God and keeping his commandments, because it's the whole duty of the Christian. We see the life of the teacher, but let's think about quickly here the message of the teacher. Now, We know that the message of the teacher is the truth. To declare the message of the Bible is what God has called us to do. And we're not, you know, a Bible teacher or a Bible a pastor, a preacher, they don't have a, they ought not to have a hidden agenda or their own opinion. You know, they want people to know what God has to say. And oftentimes in my prayer, I'll say, Lord, you know that I can't help anyone. It's you that makes the difference. It's your word that makes the difference. And help me to declare your word with boldness. The message of the teacher, a Bible teacher, is the Bible itself. But it's more than just declaring the Bible. As a teacher, we cannot be ashamed of that message. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look what the Bible says here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. This is speaking here of Timothy's call to the ministry. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou not ashamed, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and made and hath brought life to immortality, to life through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. By the way, he did not say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, given by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Now, I don't know if you've sensed it in this passage of Scripture, but this is indeed a teacher pouring his heart out to the student. And it is a teacher that's in prison for preaching the gospel. And he's saying to Timothy, his son in the faith, he's saying, Timothy, you cannot be ashamed of the message. As a teacher of the Bible, you have to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And I tell you, we're living in a day where it is becoming harder and harder to do that. But we stand upon what God says. And we make no apologies for the Bible. Paul said this in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let me ask you this question. Someone penned these words. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you ashamed to put a Bible on your desk at work? Are you ashamed to bow your head in prayer in the cafeteria? Are you ashamed to invite people to Jesus Christ? He said this, let me say it again. Are you ashamed of the one who died for you? A little boy had a dog, and someone asked him what kind of dog it was. And the little boy said, it's a police dog. And the man looked at that scrawny dog and said, that doesn't look like a police dog to me. And the little boy said, shh, he's in the Secret Service. And I'm afraid many Christians think that they're in the Secret Service. But as Christians, we must boldly stand on the Bible. And if we're going to be a teacher, we must have this confidence in the message that we teach. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." You know, if you're going to be a good salesperson, you're going to have to believe in the message, or you're going to have to believe in the product that you sell. I remember going to a Walmart a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking for a particular product, and I was looking at the shelves, and I asked the salesperson, I asked them about this particular product, and the lady looks at me, and she looks around, and she said, "Go to Amazon." You don't really believe in the products that you're selling here. The reality is we must believe in the message that we teach. And you know what? Our children, our grandchildren, they can see through us. We teach them about faith and they're like, "Where's your faith?" We teach them about what God says. "Well, why aren't you following the Bible?" We teach them about promises and they say, "Well, why don't you believe the promises?" At the end of the day, if we're going to be a teacher of the Bible, then we must have confidence and not be ashamed in the message that we preach and teach. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Would you turn there? Or Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says this, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," it doesn't mean that Peter and John were dumb people, it just means they weren't educated in the Sanhedrin. They weren't educated within the Jewish law. They were just fishermen. But the Bible says they marveled and they took knowledge of him that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Because a life that lines up with the Bible and boldness of a teacher who declares the Bible cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. That's why the Bible says, "Let your life be lived as it becometh the gospel." Don't live your life in any way that would take away from the message that you're teaching to your children, your grandchildren, your coworkers. Don't live a life that contradicts the message. And we see this. The message and the life must align. But let's think about this for just a moment, the influence of a teacher. The influence of the teacher. Now we know a teacher can influence for evil. We see that through history. But also a teacher can influence for good. It was at Mount Vernon when Moody became a part of a Sunday school class that was taught by a man named Edward Kimball. And Kimball, on April the 21st in 1855, Kimball visited the Holton shoe store, and there he found a young Moody in a stock room, stocking shoes. And he spoke to him about the love of Christ. And shortly thereafter, Moody accepted the love of Christ, trusted him as Savior, and devoted his life in serving God. It is truly a blessing to be a teacher of the Bible and to invest in the lives of people. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience. And without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I find in this scripture the delight of a teacher. And I think about Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, who were faithful in being a teacher of the Bible. A faithful Christian is so important in the influence, the godly influence of the people that we meet each and every day. The reality is this: your coworkers need a godly influence, and your family needs a godly influence. You know, even people in your family that are not living for the Lord, you know what they'll think in their heart? I don't agree with mom or with dad, but I sure know they love the Lord. And that makes an impact in people's lives. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. I believe that Timothy was the byproduct of a faithful man who was a teacher who didn't just teach the Bible, but he lived the Bible each and every day. You know, he told Timothy this. He said, Timothy, listen, you know my life, you know my doctrine, and you know my manner of life. Because the way we live our life comes from our doctrine. And Timothy was aware that Paul didn't just preach a message. He lived that same message every single day. You know, we can be a great influence for Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, and in our communities. We want people to see us, our life, and not see our carnality, not see our opinions, but we want them to see Christ. And so what do? We live the Bible. We say a kind word. We live a faithful testimony. We have the genuine love of God shine through our life each and every day. Do we study the Bible? Absolutely. Do we work hard in knowing what God says? Absolutely. But we also live the Bible so that we can be an example in word and in deed. And so God help us today. Because listen, you can deny it all you want, but we're all teachers here. We really are. We're all teachers. We see John Luke running around this auditorium. Guess what? We're all teachers. Because John Luke is going to say, this is church, and this is where Christians are. So how do Christians act? We're teachers. God help us to be godly teachers. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done.